divorce and abortion and various cultural, social changes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Irish radio was there and it was part of it. It isn't significant.
I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Allô, c'est Vieux Farka Touré, vous écoutez WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
WGXC is a listener-supported community radio station, and it is also a new platform for presenting innovative experimental works on the air. Accra, Hudson, Catskill, and points beyond. Tune in, WGXC 90.7 FM. Listen to special programs of performance, words, sounds, and other rare and delicious items. Transmitting the arts all day every Saturday and weekdays after midnight. Here is there.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marilyn R. Prof. of Holiday, Florida. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
A former employee of the Columbia County Board of Elections has filed a notice of claim naming Columbia County, the Board of Elections, Democratic Commissioner Virginia Martin, and Democratic Deputy Commissioner Diane Boyce York, alleging charges of a hostile work environment and violation of the employee's First Amendment rights of speech and association. James J. Dolan, Jr. of Greenport, through his attorney, Louis B. Oliver, Jr. of Albany, served the county with papers on December 20th. WGXC has received a copy of the documents. Dolan was appointed Democrat election specialist in March 2016, and he was, and I quote, unlawfully terminated or resigned under duress, end quote, on October 2, 2019, according to the notice. Dolan claims that despite job descriptions that required an election specialist to work with their Republican colleagues in a cooperative, bipartisan manner, Martin and Boyce York, and I quote, conspired and cooperated together to create discord and hostility, end quote, in the office. Dolan accuses his Democratic colleagues of unlawfully directing him to, and I quote, engage in divisive behavior, end quote, discouraging him from being friendly and cooperative and promoting an atmosphere of, and I quote, us against them, end quote, at the office, thereby undermining the board's fundamental mission, and I quote, to provide bipartisan service, end quote, to county residents and voters. Dolan says he openly expressed his disagreement and dissatisfaction with the policy and that Martin and Boyce York then allegedly conspired to terminate his employment.
He's claiming damages that include lost wages, benefits, and pension, as well as, and I quote, damage to his political reputation and standing in his community, end quote. Martin has served as Democratic commissioner for 10 years. However, the Board of Supervisors failed to approve her reappointment in December after it took the county more than a month to officially release results of the November general election. Gallatin Town Supervisor John Riley, a Republican, said following the December vote, and I quote, I think that we as a board have no choice but to look at a full restructure of our Board of Elections based on the results of this last election, end quote. Melanie Lekachevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Wages in Columbia and Greene counties fall short of the national average, according to a report released December 31st by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The national average weekly salary was $1,095 during the second quarter of 2019 in New York. The average weekly wage statewide was $1,347 during the same period. Locally, while unemployment figures in both counties remain low and wages have seen some growth, in Columbia County, the average weekly wage was $824, and in Greene County, it was $891. The three counties with the largest increase in weekly wages compared to 2018 were Bronx County, Oneida County, and Westchester County. According to the report, all but 19 of the state's 62 counties reported weekly wages below $1,000. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Diane Bowden is reporting for the Columbia paper that the Taconic School District has adopted a new system of voter registration which requires those who wish to vote in school elections to prove they live within the district when they turn out to the polls. Beginning with the annual school board election and budget vote in May, those who claim residency must bring with them documents that bear their name and physical address of the location. Bowden writes, and I quote, they call home for most of the year, end quote. The Taconic Hills Board of Education voted in June to replace personal registration with poll registration for all voters, and the change has met with some, and I quote, indignation and questions, end quote. Among the documents the board has ruled constitute proof of residency, a New York State driver's license, learner's permit, real ID, non-driver ID, federal or state tax returns, all must include the voter's physical address. The one document the board deemed unacceptable was a voter registration card issued by the Columbia County Board of Elections. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. Chris McKenna is reporting at The Fray. U.S. Representative Sean Patrick Maloney released a statement January 3rd following the U.S. drone strike in Iraq that killed Iranian military commander Qasem Soleimani. Malone said Soleimani had caused countless deaths through terrorism, but warned that his assassination was a dangerous escalation of the conflict with Iran. The Cold Spring Democrat said, and I quote, to order his killing in Iraq represents a dangerous gamble in the escalatory cycle the president has undertaken with Iran. As a member of the Intelligence Committee, I will be seeking a classified briefing at the soonest opportunity to better understand the president's rationale for ordering this killing, as well as the administration's planning for the inevitable repercussions, the potential for a major conflict, and the immediate threats to our personnel and partners in the region. Paul Tonko likewise issued a statement following the incident at Baghdad International Airport, and I quote, there is no doubt that Qasem Soleimani was responsible for heinous acts against Americans and our interests, but I'm deeply disturbed by the president's reckless escalation with Iran, which occurred without an authorization for use of military force consultation with Congress. The American people do not want another costly, unnecessary conflict in the Middle East. But this drone strike brings us closer to that outcome. The administration should immediately brief Congress on its long-term strategy, including its plan to protect Americans in the region, end quote. Bethany Bump reports for the Times Union that this week Governor Andrew Cuomo vetoed a bill that removes restrictions on addiction treatment drugs for lower-income Medicaid recipients while signing a bill that removes restrictions on addiction treatment drugs for privately insured New Yorkers. Both bills would remove prior authorization requirements of health plans for drugs that treat opioid addiction.
Cuomo signed the version for New Yorkers who can afford their own insurance and vetoed the version for Medicaid recipients. Cuomo said the Medicaid bill would give an, and I quote, unfair competitive advantage, end quote, to, and I quote, one pharmaceutical manufacturer in particular, end quote, but did not say which company. Others disagreed with the governor's veto. John Coppola, executive director of the New York Association of Addiction Services and Professionals, said, and I quote, the message is clear. There are two different standards for people with substance use disorder in New York. Instant access and choice for people with private insurance and barriers and only limited options for people who do not have private insurance, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that hate crimes reported in New York fell over the past 2 years, while anti-Semitic acts and anti-black hate crimes were more widespread. The Division of Criminal Justice Services logged a 36% increase in anti-black hate crime incidents in 2017, while 42.8% of all incidents that year were anti-Semitic. But overall, hate crime numbers have fallen in the state from 598 incidents in 2016 to 560 hate crime incidents in 2017 and 525 incidents in 2018. Read more about this story in New York State of Politics. Mid-Hudson News reports that State Senator Jennifer Metzger, a Democrat from Ulster County, is complaining about New York State Electric and Gas's proposed rate increase for electricity delivery. The 23% increase means an average increase of $10.20 a month on a customer's bill. Metzger says that, and I quote, would place an unreasonable burden on my constituents, is entirely unacceptable, and must be rejected, end quote. Metzger also complained about NYSEG's, and I quote, poor track record of service reliability, end quote, saying the company has, and I quote, consistently underinvested in preventive maintenance for reliability, which worsened the severity of impacts of the March 2018 winter storms and also contributed to a high frequency of power outages in my Senate district more generally, end quote. The Public Service Commission will consider the rate hike at its February 3rd meeting. Metzger wants the PSC, and I quote, to ensure that the proposed changes to the utility's vegetation management plan prioritize circuits in the Catskill region, which has suffered an inordinate number of power outages, end quote. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com. Amanda Purcell reports for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County Mountain Bike Alliance, a nonprofit cycling group, is raising $14,000 towards an off-road cycling park in Greenport. The town has set aside an acre behind Greenport Town Park at 413 Jocelyn Boulevard next to the Greenport Conservation Area for the Pump Track and Bike Skills Park. Zach Fuhrer, one of the alliance's organizers, said, and I quote, a pump track might look like a pile of shaped dirt to non-riders, but this pile of dirt can pay huge dividends to the community in improvements of the lives of our young and old residents, end quote. Jim Martinez, who designed the Cunningham Bike Park in Queens, has designed this one, and the group has already raised $5,000. Erica Nance said, and I quote, I live in Hudson near the firefighters' home and have two kids who ride bikes. They pedal around the neighborhood and the skate park, but are limited by asphalt and road traffic. Being able to ride at a park away from traffic would be so welcome, end quote. The Columbia County Mountain Bike Alliance accepts donations on its Facebook page. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday should be mostly sunny with a high of 32 and a low around 23. Chance of snow showers overnight Sunday and in the morning Monday too. Might turn to rain in the afternoon and then it might turn partly sunny
with a high near 37 on Monday, partly cloudy overnight with a low around 23. Tuesday, there's a chance of rain or snow showers after 1 p.m. with a high near 35 and a low around 26. You're listening to the radio WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Tune in to all sorts of live web streams at WGXC.org. Click on the Listen button or go to wavefarm.org/listen to find all kinds of extra web streams, not just on 90.7 FM. Monday, January 6th, tune in live from the Fridman Gallery in New York City. All week we'll be hearing the New Ear Festival. CT and Swam Exchange performing Monday, January 6th. That's sound artists Ginny Benson, Jeremy Toussaint-Baptiste, Danny Dopkin, Bernd Klug, and others. On Tuesday, January 7th, there's a live Town of Catskill webcast at 6 p.m. They're having their organizational meeting followed by their regular meeting at 6:30 p.m. On Tuesday, January 7th at 8 p.m., we go back live from the Fridman Gallery in New York City for the New Ear Festival with Adelaide Demo, Theo Darst, and Kevin Carey, and Victoria Ketty all performing live from New York City at 8 p.m. Wednesday, January 8th, there's another show from the Fridman Gallery, the New Ear Festival 2020, with Dario Calmis, Tariq Trotter, Zachary Ty Richardson, Voyo Stash, Ankh's Violins, and Brother Paul Daniels II. Tune in that live webcast at wavefarm.org/listen on Wednesday, January 8th. Thursday, January 9th, another broadcast from the New Ear Festival at the Fridman Gallery in New York City. Sadia Rehman, Model Home, Brandon Lopez, and the Talk Ensemble performing live from the Fridman Gallery in New York City on a webcast at WGXC.org. That one will also be broadcast on the radio at 90.7 FM. On Friday night, the New Ear Festival continues at the Fridman Gallery in New York City with the Dreaming Map Project performing. Also, Allard Van Horn, Susie Ibarra, the free jazz drummer, and the Dreamtime Ensemble also performs live at the New Ear Festival from the Fridman Gallery in New York City Friday, January 10th. Also, Friday, January 10th, live from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, DJ Legend performs. He's the former DJ from Doubles 2, which has now become the Avalon Lounge, and he'll be performing on the live webcast from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. on Friday night. On Saturday, January 11th, we go live from the Fridman Gallery in New York City again with jazz drummer William Hooker, with Sophia Petridis and Joanna Matry all performing at the New Ear Festival 2020. Also, the Avalon Lounge, Greene County cover band Guilty Pleasures performs. There'll be a live webcast from the Avalon Lounge on Saturday, January 11th. And Sunday, January 12th, another webcast live from the Fridman Gallery in New York City. The New Ear Festival continues with Musayar Kurdi, MV Carbon, speaker music from DeForest Brown Jr., and Ting Ding and Shy Boy all performing at the New Ear Festival live from the Fridman Gallery on a webcast at WGXC.org and wavefarm.org/listen.
WGXC welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXC, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXC and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC, 518-291-9492.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I am Lena, and I am a student of MC Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're from Hudson.
Yes, I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate.
Bookish things.
All that good stuff.
Yeah.
And today, because the holidays are just around the corner, we're going to talk about some of our favorite holiday books, movies, and music.
Yeah.
And maybe other things. So we're talking about the holidays. We're probably mostly going to talk about Christmas, but we're also going to talk a little bit about Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And maybe some solstice.
Wait, what's solstice?
That is on December 21st.
Okay.
And it's the darkest night of the year.
I forgot to include Kwanzaa. Mm-hmm. I know very little bit about Kwanzaa, but like I have a book about it, which I only read around Kwanzaa because like, why not?
Yeah, I've read some books about Kwanzaa. There aren't quite as many of them. I mean, clearly there's a lot of Christmas books.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of Hanukkah books.
Yeah.
Not too many solstice books. Or New Year's books.
Or Kwanzaa
books. There are some Kwanzaa books. I don't know that I have any favorites.
Yeah.
I'll have to figure that out. I've definitely read a bunch, but I don't have any top picks.
Yeah. Is it just me, or should Christmas and Hanukkah at least give, like, Kwanzaa and New Year's and solstice a turn? Because, like, they have a bunch of books. So maybe you, yeah, like, if
well,
they're...
Well, it's not the holidays. themselves.
Yeah.
It's the publishing industry and the people buying the books and writing the books too.
Yeah. So
but yeah, there could be some more.
Yeah. And if there are any writers listening, please make books about New Year's, Kwanzaa, and solstice.
We have a number of books about the Lunar New Year, like the Chinese New Year.
Yeah. A few.
We have a few of those. But yeah, I can't think of any New Year's Eve, like December 31st to January 1st books.
Oh, yeah.
There probably are some. I just can't think of them off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But speaking of the Kwanzaa books, if you're out there listening and you're like, there's this amazing Kwanzaa book. I can't believe she's not saying it's her top pick. Let me know.
Yeah.
You can contact me at info@hudsonarealibrary.org and tell me your top Kwanzaa pick and I'll look into it. Maybe we can get it for the library if we don't have it already. Or if we do have it, I can read it. And be able to sing its praises next year.
Yeah.
I actually know one winter solstice book that I really liked. And this is a new release that just came out this year. It's called The Shortest Day. And it's by Susan Cooper and with illustrations by Carson Ellis. And it's a poem that Susan Cooper wrote called The Shortest Day. And it's about the winter solstice.
Yeah.
And it's a very lovely poem that I've had in my life since I was a child because there was an event I went to every year basically as a kid through high school, really, and maybe a little bit into my adult life with my parents. We went to this event every year where as part of the event, they always read this poem. So I really loved this picture book because it sort of brought back memories of those times. So it's very nice. It's a poem about the solstice.
Yeah.
But that's my only solstice book that I know.
Oh, okay. Emily?
Yes?
I have a confession to make.
What's that?
I've only, like, read one Christmas book that I remember.
Really?
Yeah. On Christmas, I don't read at all because I'm too busy watching The Polar Express, The Christmas Spirit, and other great movies.
Did you read The Polar Express book ever?
No.
Because you know it's based on a book?
Really?
Uh-huh.
The Oriental?
Really beautiful illustrations. But so what is the only Christmas book that you know?
It's one that I talked about on this show, like the last show.
What was it?
Welcome Comfort. Yeah.
So you didn't read books when you were a kid about Christmas?
No, like I only watched...
Like How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Wait, did I actually read that?
Or did you see the movie for that one?
No, I actually saw, like... Whenever I think of Christmas, my only thoughts are laying in bed for too long, opening. So this is my daily schedule on every single Christmas. Well, most Christmases. sleeping in for too long, waking up, eating breakfast, waiting for everyone to start waking up or eat breakfast, calling you out, Cecile. Or my dad, like, sometimes he's like, I gotta finish my food, and all he's drinking is coffee. Mm-hmm. Or, like, he's eating something, and I'm like, hurry up, guys, because I really want to open up presents a lot. Opening up presents, being like, yay, I got blah, 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 or blank.
And, or blank.
Yeah, because it could be anything. And me being like, oh, it's 10, because sometimes I wake up at 8 or 9. And I'm like, oh, it's 10. We better start watching those movies. And it's
so what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Ooh. This is going to be hard.
You can name a few.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Emily is the best. Hashtag number one person.
It's my Christmas gift to you.
Even though it's not Christmas yet.
It's a pre-Christmas gift.
Okay, yeah. The Polar Express. Mm-hmm. The new Grinch movie.
Which one? The live action or the animated?
The animated.
Okay.
Not like the one cartoon one. I mean like the
not
new
the original
one.
Cartoon. But the new cartoon.
The new one. The Christmas Spirit. And I'm guessing that none of you have heard of this who are hearing the show. So I'm going to try to summarize it. I actually didn't watch most of the movie. Darn it, I can't summarize this that well.
So is it really one of your favorites if you didn't watch it?
Well, I was like, no, I don't want to watch it because I was like too busy coloring my squishy mushy, which is a squishy.
Mushy.
Yeah. So I'm just going to try to summarize this the best I can. So it's about this girl who somehow gets a hotel. And there are a few days where she's there and she's like, huh, okay. Some weird stuff has happened. The lights turned off. Even though I turned them on, some crazy stuff has happened. The fan broke. This vase, like, fell off and stuff. Like, I don't remember what broke, but out of nowhere, she sees this man, I think. I'm sorry, but I haven't watched this since last Christmas, kinda. Because kinda. I didn't watch most of it, because I was busy coloring in my squishy mushy. So, she, like, met this man, and she was like, hey, you're not staying here. And then, like, she blinks for a second, and then he's gone.
Wow.
Okay, and that's all I'm going to tell you guys.
Cool. You want to know my favorite Christmas movies?
What? You can only name three.
I can name three? Okay.
Yeah. Three or four.
Three or four.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking with Amelia last week about this, and she thought it was more of a Halloween movie, and I thought it was more of a Christmas movie, but I love The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, no. The creator said that it was more of a Halloween movie, and that
I think
is
of it as a Christmas movie.
Oh, no, 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 no. It is a Halloween movie.
I just don't buy it. I don't know. To me, it's very clearly a Christmas movie. But anyway, since it's my choice, I'm claiming it. So I love that one. In terms of the classics, I haven't seen it in a number of years, but I used to watch it every year, is It's a Wonderful Life. And I like the original Grinch. I haven't seen the newer ones, but I like the animation.
Okay.
And then I'd be lying if I didn't say Elf.
Oh.
I just think Elf is really funny and fun. But I'd say those are my favorites. I'm probably forgetting one.
Emily, I forgot to mention one that I just saw recently.
What was that?
Home Alone 1. Oh. I have just seen it, and it is the bomb.
I haven't seen that since I was a kid. It's good, though. It holds up, even though it's as old as me. It's less old than me, actually, but it came out when
really
I was a kid.
Young. You look really thanks. Young, like in your 20s.
So just like the movie holds up, I hold up.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You can't go past 21.
Really. Oh, okay, I'm 21.
Yes, you are 21 and you will stay 21.
Cool. I don't think I talked about Christmas books.
Yes.
Did I?
You I only talked about the Seltzer book.
Oh, the Solstice book.
Yeah.
So for a Christmas book, so the one that reminds me the most of my childhood is Santa Mouse, which is really cute. It's about a mouse who ends up becoming Santa's helper. And it's very sweet. So that was my favorite growing up. And then recently I've read a couple that I really liked in recent years. One is a Taro Gomi book called Presence Through the Window. And it's a little kid's book that has, you know, like a little window in the book. So you can see something through the window. And then when you turn the page, it kind of reveals what it really is. And so there's all of these different creature characters that are getting gifts from Santa through the window. And so it's kind of like a revealing book where, you know, each time you turn the page, it reveals something. But part of the reveal is that as you're reading the book, you realize that Santa maybe made some wrong deliveries because people are getting gifts that make sense for their neighbors.
Oh.
So it's really cute and very simple and interesting. Okay. And then I read a really good one this year that actually ties together Christmas and Hanukkah, which Ooh. Is nice. It's called The Trees of the Dancing Goats by Patricia Polacco. And it's the story of a young girl named Trisha who loves spending Hanukkah with her family. And they're getting really excited for Hanukkah and, you know, celebrating.
Yeah.
And they go to visit their neighbors, and their neighbors, like the whole neighborhood, except for their family, have gotten scarlet fever. So they're very sick and aren't able to really celebrate Christmas. And so they feel bad for their neighbors because they know how much joy Hanukkah brings for them and how much joy Christmas celebrations brings for their neighbors. So they decide to cut down Christmas trees and decorate them and secretly deliver them to all their neighbors. And so it's about the family doing that.
Yeah.
The Christmas and Hanukkah season. So that's a very sweet book.
Emily, I just realized something.
What's that?
We read a Christmas book today and I totally forgot about it.
You read one today?
Yeah, a Christmas book.
What was it called?
I can't remember what it was called. So it's about this family who is from Germany. And in this story, they brought over Christmas.
Like they've come to the United States?
Yeah,
and
they
brought
came,
their Christmas
No, they came to Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And basically. And they like were like, oh, this is what we do. And like they chopped down trees and like did like stuff what we would have done in the olden days when there was no electricity, no phones, not even your Chromebook. So they did some of that stuff and they got made fun of because they were the only ones who did that. And then a couple years later, year after year, a family would copy them and they would do the same thing as them. And it made me think of one of my friends was like copyrighted artists, which is a game that we played together, which I am bad at because it doesn't let me play it. Even though you don't even have to move around in the game. So, yeah. People eventually just, like, copied them.
Interesting.
Yes.
I have another Hanukkah book to talk about.
Oh my god. Talk about Hanukkah.
There are not as many Hanukkah books as there are Christmas books.
Yeah.
There are so many Christmas books that come out every year. And there's usually some Hanukkah books, but not as many. So it's a little more slim pickings. But there are some really good ones that I like. But my new favorite one that came out, I think, last year is called Hanukkah Hamster by Michelle Markell. And it's about a cab driver named Edgar who, after a long day of work, is getting ready to go home and realizes there's a hamster in his car. So somebody left a hamster behind in his car. And so he does his due diligence and, you know, reports it to Lost and Found at the cab company so that if anyone is like, I'm missing my hamster, that they'll be able to find their hamster. And in the meantime, he takes care of the hamster in his home, and they form a nice connection. He names the hamster Chickpea and starts to celebrate Hanukkah with his new hamster friend. And he lives alone. His family's back home in Israel, and so he's missing his family. And so it's nice to have this little creature to, like, spend the holiday with. And it's very sweet.
Yeah.
It warmed my little heart.
You're saying that you
my
have
big
a
heart.
Tiny heart.
It warmed my big, huge heart.
Okay.
But it was really nice. And you said you had like, something you wanted to talk about with Hanukkah?
No, it was Kwanzaa.
Oh, Kwanzaa?
A book that I read. So it was like a book where she's like, oh, I can't wait for Kwanzaa. And then she's like, hopefully my big brother makes it because like, he's coming back home from college. And there's a big snowstorm and he couldn't make it. And she's like, oh, what would Kwanzaa be like without my big brother? And she was all sad the whole time. Like, they invited friends and family. They tried to cheer her up. And then, like, I'm pretty sure at the end of the... Never mind.
No spoilers?
Yeah, no spoilers.
Yeah. For those who are listening on Thursday, on this Saturday, December 21st at 4 p.m. at Hudson Hall, Operation Unite is holding their Kwanzaa Umoja celebration.
What's Umoja? You're glad that I asked.
And I just looked up Umoja because I didn't know what it meant.
Okay.
And in Swahili, it means unity.
Unity? Mm-hmm. What's unity mean?
In Kwanzaa, the seven principles of Kwanzaa, Umoja means unity, and it's to strive for and to maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that's on Saturday at 4 p.m. at Hudson Hall, so Saturday, December 21st. So if you're listening Thursday, there's still time to attend.
Yeah.
But we also wanted to talk a little bit about songs before we go, because there's lots of great holiday songs. Again, not as many that I know about the solstice. Or about Kwanzaa, but I'm sure they do exist. And not so many about Hanukkah either.
I know a
lot. Although we know at least one.
I know like a few of them because I've been in school for a while and they're like, we have to include Hanukkah. How dare you not include
there Hanukkah? There may also be some songs that are sung that are more religious too, that so that aren't as popular in terms of like popular culture. But what's one of the songs that you know? The only one I know is the dreidel song.
Okay, so, wait, do you mean the one where it's like, oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay.
Yeah.
And when it's dry and ready, oh, dreidel, I shall play. Like, there's actually a game that's really fun that goes with it.
The dreidel game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's a good time. But you sing other Hanukkah songs too?
Yeah, but there's like one where it's like, spin and spin, dreidel spin, let the Hanukkah fun begin, twirl and spin, whirl around, let the dreidel hit the ground, tell the tale for all 8 nights, it's a festival, alas, what a wondrous holiday, we will sing and we will play. Recorders and then they repeat the singing.
I like that.
And then like third graders like repeat the singing, fourth graders keep on playing the recorders. So since I'm a fourth grader, it's sing, play, play, and then third graders get sing, play, sing. So yeah,
that's a lot to keep track of what you're supposed to be doing. I like that song. I never heard that one before. I like that more than the dreidel song. Although the dreidel one's catchy.
Yeah. It's like, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. Like, last time I heard it and I actually remembered all of it was, like, when I was in kindergarten. I forgot what happened in third grade. Like, did I win?
Do you have any favorite Christmas songs?
Oh. There's one that people say it involves religion.
That's okay. What is it?
Okay, I'm sorry if anyone is like, oh my god, that is so offensive, because I don't know how it's religious. So it starts out like this, ding dong, hark how the bells, sweet silver bells, all sing and say, so joy throws away, Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek young and poor, ding dong ding dong, that is a song which will bring
it's a little too high for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a nice one.
Yeah,
that's your favorite. Well, how does it make you feel?
It's one of my favorites. It makes me feel, like, happy. But my number one, if you're asking, is, you know, Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Cupid.
Vixen.
Connor and, I meant Vixen. But you know it all. The most wonderful reindeer of all. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw I sang that when I was in kindergarten too.
So that's your favorite?
Yeah,
that's cute.
Yeah,
it's a classic.
Yeah, and my mom told me that they're going to take it off the radio. We'll take it off the internet basically, because like radio is internet and internet is radio. Basically, kind of. They're just going to be like, Thanos snap, you never existed. Like,
why?
Because it was like about bullying.
Oh.
Yeah, because like they didn't let him play because he had
but it's
red
about
nose.
But it's about how he overcomes bullying and becomes like the star of the show and how he's so important and what made him special and different and people were bullying him for was actually an asset. And
what's an asset?
A positive thing. It has a purpose.
Oh my God.
Like, Santa wouldn't be able to drive his sleigh through all that snow without this shiny red nose. So it was an asset to their team, his nose.
Yeah. And also, instead of saying his red nose, I almost said his stuffy nose.
His stuffy nose. That's why it was red, because he had a little bit of a cold.
Yeah. Like, as soon as he was born, and then, boom, it started glowing because he started playing with a glow stick. It fell on his nose.
Mm-hmm.
Because my sister actually broke a glow stick once, and she was wearing shorts, and she started drawing on her legs, and it started glowing, and the glow stick magic just went on her legs.
Wow.
Yeah. And she did that on purpose, and I'm mad at her because I'm like, no, I don't want to die. You can just go do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we run out of time, I will tell you my favorite Christmas songs.
Yes.
So, my favorite Christmas album, first of all, which is a different thing.
Wait, what's now?
Is like a collection of songs on a disc or a playlist, is Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings has a really great sort of soulful Christmas album. It also has a Hanukkah song on it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And actually, I like that Hanukkah song, too. But I think I like some of the kind of like nice classics like White Christmas or The Christmas Song or I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Or All I Want for Christmas.
I actually do like some of those cheesy ones too. I love the Mariah Carey All I Want for Christmas Is You. And I love Last Christmas by Wham.
Oh, I love Last Christmas. They even made a movie about it. And I was like, let's go see it. And then... I found out later that it wasn't for kids, but I am the one who went to go watch Shazam, which was PG-13.
Shocking.
Yes. Not at all, because I watch anime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, those are some of our holiday picks.
Yeah.
So we hope everyone out there listening has a good week.
Or Christmas.
And more importantly, a happy solstice, a happy Hanukkah,
Christmas,
and a Merry
Kwanzaa.
Christmas.
You forgot
and
Kwanzaa.
And a happy Kwanzaa, too.
Yes, thank you for including Kwanzaa.
Thank you for pointing out that we should include Kwanzaa.
Yes. Well, yes. I hope you have merry holidays, four of them.
And it's not here yet, but Happy New Year, too.
Yeah, and also, for your New Year's resolution, I'm going to recommend this one. Try to read as many books as you can, and happy reading!
Happy reading!
Yay.
Now here's one for all the little kids. You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you? Like a light.
you got my sleigh tonight. Well, then all the reindeer loved him as he shouted out with glee. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down to history. Yeah, you'll go down, go down in history.
Next up, I'm joined by Jayette Lansbury. She is a volunteer with the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm the Criminal Justice Chair.
You're the Criminal Justice Chair. Thank you for joining us on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine today, Jayette.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Could you just start off by telling us what the National Alliance on Mental Illness does and some of the goals of your organization?
The goal of the organization is to eradicate the stigma that goes along with serious mental illness and also to create better lives for the people that suffer, that live with these mental illnesses and their families. And it's also to make awareness that the brain is part of the body, just like the heart and lungs. We don't stigmatize against heart disease or lung disease or stomach diseases. Why should we stigmatize brain diseases?
What are some of the campaigns that NAMI has going on right now?
Better housing and more housing for those that live with serious mental illness and their families. Also, you know, criminal justice issues is better care inside. But most importantly is to keep them out of the criminal justice system and to get more officers trained in crisis intervention so more officers will know when they come in contact with that person with the mental illness how to react and also be aware of their own mental health needs. Mm-hmm. And the other thing we do besides the housing is that is just better general services in all for those with mental the serious mental illnesses and their families, and making sure, you know, that they're not locked away in places that are like dungeons.
And how did you get involved with the National Alliance on Mental Illness?
Because I have a son that has autism with the mental illness. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a survivor of somebody that took their life by suicide.
So it's very close to home. And your son,
yes.
Alan Lansbury, is who you're referring to, who is currently in a forensic facility?
Yes.
What does forensic facility mean?
It's ran through the New York State Office of Mental Health. It's a psychiatric center that is secure. In other words, by secure, we mean it's all locked down and it has barbed. It has high fences with razor wire. It's just like a jail or prison, but it's ran by the New York State Office of Mental Health, and it also means that they could do it a lot longer there than they would do if they had a sentence, or sometimes it depends. But they're getting treatment instead of being put in solitary confinement, being beaten by other inmates or correctional officers.
What is your work around the forensic facilities?
My work around forensic facilities is that people don't spend the rest of their life there, that they don't do much longer than they would have did if they took a jail sentence, and also to make sure that the staff understands about mental illness, to eradicate the stigma around forensic facilities, because when people hear forensic facilities, they think the worst of the worst of the most dangerous mentally ill people locked in these facilities, and that's not true.
And how long has your son, Alan, been in one of these facilities?
20 years.
Right now we're talking at the end of the year a lot about clemency. What does clemency work look like related to facilities like this forensic facility?
Well, not really. Anybody applies for clemency out of there, but clemency out of there would take those that have been there 10 years or more and not no longer dangerous to society, as they're quoted on being, and give them a chance at life and give them a chance, you know, to move on. Nobody should be held accountable for something that happened 15 or 20 years ago, especially if it wasn't a horrific, you know, high-profile crime. Let's face facts. Everybody changes. Everybody matures. People are not their past. And, I mean, regardless of who, what, when, and how, everybody deserves a second chance at life.
Jay Lansbury, what else would you want our audience to know about your son specifically and his situation in this forensic facility?
Just that he's been there a long time, too long under my thing, and that the law needs to be changed. It really does. It needs to be modernized. I mean, we're talking about a law that's draconian, hasn't been looked at since Hinckley, you know, shot Reagan.
In the 80s,
it's still, look at this, we're talking about 40 years later, and we have new medications, we have new therapies that these people could, and plus once they move on, they could still be under treatment. What it costs to keep somebody inside, we could use for services for them on the outside, and not only them, but others as well. And like I said, everybody deserves a second chance.
Thank you for sharing that. Now, there are a series of lobbying days coming up in Albany. You're actually down in Long Island, is that correct?
Yes.
And so you will be traveling up to the Capital Region for a series of lobbying days in the new year. Would you like to talk about any of those briefly?
Well, the first one is January 14th, which is elder parole and releasing aging people in prison, because death by incarceration should not be. Like I said before, everybody deserves a second chance. To me, the important day is January 21st, too, which is the whole solitary day to get the whole bill passed in New York State, because last year it was passed by the Assembly. We had enough votes in the Senate, and the Governor Cuomo, as good as he is and gracious as he is at times, did not sign that bill and made his own plans with regulations, which doesn't even include those with serious mental illness, autism, aging people, pregnant women, where the whole bill covers it all, and the whole bill just doesn't cover prisons. It also covers jails, the local jails. And HALT stands for Humane Alternatives to Long-Term Confinement, and it's based on the Mandela Rules, which is no more than 15 days on every 60 days. We really don't want no solitary, but we'll take what we can get with the HALT. And we're looking, if you look at Colorado and see what they did, they have no more than 8 people on any given day in solitary. Here, we're still torturing, and here in New York State, we're still torturing 4,300 individuals each day that are locked away in our prisons by putting them in solitary confinement, which is torture.
If you want to say any more or share any more about how Colorado was able to actually decrease that number by so much.
We could decrease that number by giving them proper program and by having them assessed before. If you don't have a mental illness when you go in solitary or any issues, you're going to have one when you come out. We could also decrease it by making sure that people are programmed and that they have programs in these prisons that can decrease it, like, you know, more social workers that are trained in mental health to work with them, programs that suit their needs. I know prisons and jails are not mental health facilities, but still, when most of our people in prison do suffer with a serious mental illness or other neurobiological disorders, there should be training for the officers, training for all staff, so they know how to address this, and they don't have to put these people in solitary.
Thank you for going into that a little bit more. Now, I just wanted to bring this back to clemency one more time. And I know that you said that in many ways Governor Cuomo has done a significant amount of good work related to prison reform and just granting those on parolees the ability to vote. But what is the call? What is the ask of our governor right now in this time?
You know, he hasn't really granted enough clemencies, and so far I haven't heard of any clemency so far this year.
And today's the last day of the year.
And today's the last day of the year, and usually you hear about somebody, and there's not enough. We could really, you know, grant more people clemency, especially those that have been locked away over 15 years. Those people that are growing old in there that have maybe started dementia. Maybe they have illnesses that are related to age related. They deserve to have some time with their families before either the family member passes or they themselves pass. I mean, we talk that we don't torture people. Well, we're sending a two-pronged message.
Jayette, what else that we didn't touch on that you want to make sure that our audience knows today, including how can people interested in the National Alliance on Mental Illness get in touch?
They can go to the NAMI New York State website. It's NAMI, NAMINYS.org, and go on to that website. We have an Advocacy Day coming up on March 2nd. You know, up at the Legislative Office Building.
In Albany.
Or you got to do in Albany. It'll be up in Albany. Or you got to do is go to the website and sign up or show up at Legislative Office Day. Look for our Legislative Office Building. Look for our NAMI table. Sign up and talk to them about it. If you want to get involved in other ways, we have plenty of different ways that people can be involved. You know, people, even law enforcement officers, can be involved, you know, regardless of who you are. We accept everybody.
Great. Thank you for joining us today, Jayette Lansbury, with the National Alliance on Mental Illness.
Thank you, and I wish everybody a healthy, happy, safe, and peaceful New Year, and always.